The next guy that we have coming on the show here is a recent author. His book is Tales of a Rat, Things You Shouldn't Know, an autobiography by Bobby Blotzer with Jim Clayton, that being the gentleman who I guess helped him to guide this into print. But it's a very gripping read. His publishing company sent it out to me, and I'm very appreciative of that. It takes you through his career in music here, and some things also beyond the world of music as well, some other dabblings that he has done on the side here. But predominantly, the book surrounds his music career and the relationships that were a part of that and continue to be. And, of course, the whole trajectory of Rat, which, again, as we discussed previously, pretty big in the 80s. And you can make a pretty nice residual living for a long time off of that once you've really established yourself and once you can continue to put out some music to augment the core part of your catalog. And they've continued to do that over time. Again, there are some tremendous, tremendous stories in the book. It's as entertaining as you would figure that it would be from anybody from the L.A. metal scene in the 80s. You have to go in assuming that there's going to be a lot of great stories. And that's going to be one of the things we're going to ask him about in terms of his approach for putting the book together, because he certainly was very forthcoming about a lot of different stories and a lot of different aspects in the book. And I understand now that we do have him on the phone lines, so it's great to have him on and be able to bring him in for a conversation here. We have on the phone lines with us Rat drummer Bobby Blotzer. Great to have you in the FDH Lounge tonight, Bobby. How are you?
What's up, baby? How y'all doing?
Hey, pretty good. How you doing?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
I have to ask you first and foremost here. I hate to introduce what could be a contentious note off the bat, but I didn't pick up on this from the book. You're a Pittsburgh native. We're, of course, broadcasting from the Sports Talk Network flagship city of Cleveland. Are you perchance a Steeler fan?
Well, let's just put it this way. As much as I love going to Cleveland and playing and love the fans there, I hate Cleveland. No, I'm only joking. Of course, you know, our rivalry goes way back. I am, of course, a major Steelers and Pirates fan and always will be. And Penguins, of course.
Well, I was going to say, I got you on the Penguins, too, because my all-time favorite player is Steve Yzerman. So, of course, I'll be rooting for Tampa in the first round series. So.
Well, they're playing right now, aren't they? Or is that... I think that game's underway.
Well, since I've started us on a contentious note here, let's move along. That is, it's an interesting book. I always love to get into the creative process with anybody that's in any part of the creative arts. And for you, of course, it's music and now publishing. I want to get specifically to state of mind, things you decided to include versus not include, because we've kind of run the gamut previously on the show, and I think we did so in consecutive weeks. One week, it was Bob Barker on the show when he was promoting his book, and he was very reticent, old school Hollywood, didn't badmouth anybody, just kind of kept it old school in that way. The next week, we had on Missy Hyatt, wrestling manager from the 80s and 90s, and she was very forthcoming, and boyfriends this, and sex acts that. So opposite ends of the spectrum. And her explanation was, look, this is what people expect from me. They're going to expect this if they're plunking down money for a Missy Hyatt book. I got to be forthcoming. I'm going to guess that your explanation probably falls somewhere along the lines there. If somebody's buying a book from the drummer of Rat, they're probably going to expect the sex, the drugs, and everything else, correct?
Well, I mean, of course they're going to expect that, because whether that happened or not, that's what they're going to expect. Now, backing up to mention someone like Bob Barker, whom I've loved since I was a kid. I wish I had that kind of personality. You could tell that guy, you know, barely has a bad thing to say about anybody in his whole life to anybody, you know. Now, my life hasn't been that great. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs and a lot of battles. And for me, the whole pretense of doing this book, A, was to not have it be like a tabloid kiss-and-tell book that would embarrass anybody, you know, tell any stories or anything that might be the wrong color for something. You know, I'm not going to, you know, blab people's, you know, things, friends, relatives, whatever. So I just basically told my story, what I did, you know, the way I lived my life, in, you know, before Rat, all through Rat. And I've been a Rat for 29 years. So obviously, most of my life I've been in the drummer for that. And man, you know, there's been a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, ups and downs and heartache and fun. I mean, mostly fun, but you know, I just kind of zeroed in on that sort of thing, you know, and all the different trails and you know, freeways of life I've taken, you know, and it's been a lot of fun. They're pretty funny. The book, people that read it, especially the people that know me and know my voice, as you can tell, I have a sort of distinctive voice. Their reaction is like, you know, dude, it's like I'm sitting right next to you in your living room hearing these stories. It freaks me out. I go, like, freaks you out, good or bad? They go, no, it's killer. I like it.
Well, obviously that's what you're going for. You're trying to evoke that. You're trying to make it real and bring people into the moment. To follow up on that, as far as the philosophical basis for what you were going to address, and you're right about that you didn't really engage much in the way of feuds in the book. Obviously, there's some people that got lit up a little bit, Don Dokken and a few others, but you seem pretty straightforward in how you were telling the tales. But as my question, I guess my follow-up goes more to what you told about yourself here, and whether it be your kids reading the book or anybody else like that that you're very close to. As you get into the tales of this here, and whether it be your post-divorce life and the things that you went through there, these things that are going to be read by those close to you, it obviously had to be something where you weighed it and it came out on the basis that, look, it's going to be candor and I'm going to put it all out there because I guess that's what the people are going to expect.
Well, yeah, I don't really care what people are going to expect. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it was like, this is me. This is what I've done. You know, if you expected more and you're let down, sorry, don't pick up the next one. I don't know what to tell you. But I'll tell you this, I'll flash on one thing. I wasn't out there to, you know, you mentioned Don Dokken, and me and Don go way back. I was in a band with him when I just turned 18, and we were like brothers for many years. And I still, you know, think of him as a brother. And, you know, I have a real-life brother that we didn't speak for 8 years, you know, and I've gone through this with Don. I think we've kind of, thrown the towel in a little bit, so to say, but, you know, there's things that went down that there was a lot of good and bad, but, you know, I told the stories of both. So while I was telling these stories, you know, I'm not going to leave out certain things, you know, that affected our relationship as friends. Thus hence, he, you know, he's never said a word to me about the thing. The only guys that were kind of concerned, you know, Stephen and Warren in my band were kind of concerned, and they were asking for a courtesy pre-read, and I was, I don't know, I was a little taken back by that because I simply said, look, guys, you're not going to, you know, take my book and change anything in it. You're not, you know, this is not where this is lying. You're cool. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm in business with you. I'm not going to come in there and flame you, but, you know, there's going to be stories told that need to be told that have already been told by and large with our Behind the Music on MTV and with other stories and interviews and such, you know. So, I don't know. I wanted to give a clear, accurate viewpoint, and it is my viewpoint, okay, because mm-hmm. some people, I think, might not remember it that way or something, but I have a really great my memory sense. While it's starting to dull a little bit, but it's pretty clear, man. I remember a lot of dates and times and numbers and that sort of thing. I've always had that knack, you know.
Well, that obviously came in handy. And as far as people's expectations for the book, I can only speak for myself and my perspective. I mean, I think the only thing that you really owe people are, you know, obviously you've got a treasure full of great stories from back in the day, wild
yeah.
stories from what it's been about. And you put them out there, you shared it, it was honest from your perspective. And I think, that personally, that's all people can ask for. You didn't embellish anything. You told it like it was. The one thing in particular, I got to think, you know, as somebody who is a writer myself, I read the one passage in there and I was thinking to myself, this passage has got made for TV movie written all over it. The part about when you were doing the business back in 93 with the carpet cleaning, and you happen to be, it was a tough day, you're lugging around the equipment in Englewood, and you look out over the balcony and you see the Forum where you guys had sold. rolled out previously, and it just hit you right between the eyes. I'm thinking, I can just hear like the sappy TV music movie playing. I mean, that, you couldn't make up something like that, and it happened to you.
Keep in mind that at that time, I was still, you know, living great, had a lot of money in the bank, but things were, you know, it had been a couple of years that the band had been broken up, and having about a $20,000 a month nut that I was spending, things were depleting. So I'm like, okay, to my ex-wife Jenny, what are you gonna do? We're both going back to work, because at that time the phone wasn't ringing for anybody from bands from the 80s about working, you know. So I had spent the first couple of years thinking, all right, let's let these guys get it out of their system, then we'll be back to work, you know. So I spent that time hanging out with my sons, snow skiing all winter, going to the lake on our boat in the summer, et cetera, just doing, you know, family things. But that quickly, you know, as I'm looking at the money in my bank dropping rapidly, that's when I started three businesses, one of which was a steam cleaning business. And frankly, you know, that's like one of the only things I did other than music in my life, you know. And I knew how to do it quick, and it does make money. And I opened, you know, with Jenny, my ex, I invested $100,000 in a flower shop that she ran, and then I bought about 80 vending machines. So, you know, I was a civilian again, and that particular day, man, was really a rough one. I got to admit, it was probably one of the most humiliating and humbling days in my life to have been at this particular place as part of I had a company that was a property management company that gave me a lot of apartments to, facilitate their, you know, when people move out, get the carpets done. And I was looking out the door, man, and at the machine, and saw the Forum, and just in the exact background, the L.A. Forum, where we headlined there with Bon Jovi opening for us, you know. And this was, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years before, you know. And I just thought, man, this is okay. Well, whatever. Let's just say this. I couldn't wait for that day to end, and when it did, me and my buddy Jack Daniels had a long night together. So, you know, you do what you got to do. I always said that in interviews. You know, people would say, what if Rat stops tomorrow? What if this whole thing ends? I'm like, you know, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, to feed my family and pay my bills and live. And, you know, I've been blessed in music, and we have and still am. And, you know, it's really never going to end, because our catalog continues to sell, and we've, you know, not had a year. I haven't had a year off since, I don't know, probably 96 in touring. So thank God for that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do to survive, whether it be in music or by other means. And you've certainly been able to do that. A lot of great tales in the book here. One thing, this will be kind of nice for us. I don't want to say quasi-exclusive or anything, but there wasn't a lot in the book. There wasn't a tremendous amount of backstory on the whole thing with Milton Berle and the Round and Round video. So I definitely wanted to ask you about that and get your insights on that here tonight. What that was like to work with Uncle Milty. I mean, that had to be a trip in and of itself, you know, to have a guy who really just spanned the generation like that, you know, an icon of an earlier part of the 20th century, being a part of a breakout video.
It was amazing. And for somebody like myself, who I grew up like, and I still to this day, and people that know me that are close to me know that I am so tied to like old Hollywood and the Victorian era and that sort of thing. I like, you know, I just love that era. And so I knew of him since I was a little kid. And he was related to our manager, Marshall. He was Marshall's uncle. So, you know, in first meeting him, it wasn't really just an easy, approachable, you know, thing to do, because you were scared, and he's an icon. And, you know, he was very nice, though. And he subsequently was the president of the Friars Club up in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And this was all, you know, the guys, like old school Hollywood guys, you know, and no women were allowed in that club. And they would, you know, people went there all the time, but they would do these periodic roasts. That's where they're derived from, I believe. And Milton would be the master of ceremonies, and he had like just, you know, boxes of cards, like on, you know, cue card thing, little flash cards. And so he had just, I mean, tens of thousands of one-liners and such like that. But he would put us at the front table, the band Rat. We would go as the band with our manager and sit there, you know, 10 feet from Johnny Carson and Phyllis Diller, or she was roasted one time. And, I mean, to hear these guys and Don Rickles, Ed McMahon, I mean, Tom Bosley, it goes on and on and on. You know, there's so many of them, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But to watch, sit there and watch them, like, smoking cigarettes, drinking cocktails, and talking in the bluest manner you can imagine, for me, it was just interesting, because seeing them as a kid, it reminded me of walking past the teacher's lounge when you get a view in there at school and you'd see the teachers in there, like, having a Coke and a cigarette. At least when I was a kid, they were able to do that. And I'd be like, oh, my God, they're human, you know. But he was he helped make this band, because without him being in that video, I mean, the song's a great song, obviously, and it's stood the test of time. It's like our Freebird. You know, MTV was so blown away having, you know, a metal band, a rock band with Milton Berle not only playing one role, but dual roles. You know, I think they ran it every 40 minutes, you know. So when that thing came out, within 3 months, you know, that record was literally selling, you know, 100,000 a week. I mean, I'm talking from zero to, you know, 500 miles an hour. That's because, you know, it seemed so quick. And then he came back, and we came back to L.A. and shot Back for More, and he reappeared in that video as well. And God bless him. He was a great guy.
Oh, just
really blessed to been able to meet him, you know.
That would have been so great to be able to see one of those roasts. And you know, it occurs to me, and this coincidence just occurred to me now, you know, between him and your good friend Tommy Lee, the legend on both of them. Apparently, both of them have a lot in common below the waist, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. So
I knew this was coming. You know, I knew right out of the gates. let me think. How do I put this? One, I've been standing next to and viewed and can tell, you know. The other one, I was never in the bathroom standing next to Milton Berle having a leak.
But okay.
Tommy has been a lucky boy his whole life.
That's fine. From what I understand of Milton Berle, I think most people would get frightened turtle syndrome anyway, so that's probably just as well none of us ever got to do that. But your interplay with celebrities along the way, really, you know, this book is chock full of great stories like that.
Yeah.
The O.J. thing also, too. You know, after making the jokes about him and the O.J. clubs and everything like that, coming face-to-face with him on a public course out there in SoCal, that was one of the better stories in the book, too.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's just weird to hear you ask about O.J. because I just finished that book, I Did It, by O.J. And wow, you know, and I was just telling somebody else that story. The guys actually that I have a line of wine coming out, and I was telling these guys the story about when I was golfing with him, and or not golfing with him, but this using the OJ club, which you remember in the book. But you know, that was the oddest thing I think that I've ever experienced. Next to me standing on stage 10 feet from Mick Jagger when the Stones were playing and no one else was there, I was thinking, how is it possible that I am the only one up here? You know, and Mick is looking over like, who is that creepy guy over there? Because at the time I had a long black trench coat on, I had a beard. I'm just standing with a beard. The only one that was up on stage other than me were people that were working and doing things. I was, you know, I lasted about 10 minutes and then they kicked me off. But when I ran into this OJ thing, it was right after the trial. And I just thought, out of all the people in the world, I'm standing next to this cat, you know. And it was weird, man. It makes me weird to even think about it and talk about it, especially after just reading that book, you know. Which,
yep,
clearly, you know, he spells out that he did do the, you know, do what he did, that bastard. But
that would be pretty blood curdling. I don't envy you. Having come face to face with the guy. But yeah, there's so many great stories in the book, and obviously. it leaves off with everything that you guys are presently doing with RAT and some of your side projects and everything. And, Bobby, we always love to give everybody a chance to plug on the show here. So please take it away. Anything you got going on in addition to the book, because I know there's an awful lot of things you want people to hear about.
Well, you know, I mean, with the book, and thanks for, you know, going into depth and enjoying the book. I appreciate it. It is called Tales of a Rat, Things You Shouldn't Know is the subtitle, which is just a little teaser, to, you know, trying to get people to bite. But that's available, of course, on Amazon and Kindle or BobbyBlotzer.com. But I'm just about through with this, with another book, which is called Wanted, Things You Need to Know, which is an interactive book. It's more like a project to see how it'll do. What it is I've had, you know, hundreds of people sending me questions based on anything pertaining to the book, to anything musical in my life, in the business, anything, you know, about the music business. And what I'm going to have them do is provide a picture of their name. They're going to be in the book. They're going to ask the question, and I'm going to go into, you know, as deep of detail. And I've gotten some pretty interesting questions, you know, and some pretty stupid ones too, you know. And thank you, everybody, from Metal Sludge. You guys are great, all three of you. I really appreciate it. But you know, so it's that thing's almost done. And aside from that, I am venturing into being a winemaker. And that's in conjunction with an actual award-winning winemaker named Christian Story and a couple other guys that I met up with, Greg Hassler and Don. And we're putting this wine out, and we're putting out a red, which is going to be a Cabernet and Merlot blend, and we're putting out a Chardonnay. And the wine's called Rat and Roll Out of the Cellar. And I think we're gonna call the Chardonnay Body Talk, just for the body of the wine. And we're gonna call the red Sip of the Lip. So you're gonna be able to get the Chardonnay in probably mid-July, and then the red blend will come out in probably around October. So I'm gonna be out and promoting that and trying to get it into any store and every store and anywhere that it's gonna go. It's so good. Christian is such a great guy, and he makes amazing, amazing wine. It's a Napa, California blended wine out of St. Helena. And I'm pretty excited about that. You know, that's the first and foremost. And I have been, I mean, over the years, I make salsa, like when we're watching sporting events or having barbecues at my house. So all my friends love I make my own salsa. And I call it Blot Sauce. So we're trying to brand that as well. And that will probably fall under the Rat and Roll moniker as well. Blot Sauce, if it's too hot, you're too old. You know, so that's what we're thinking on that end. So in the meantime, I'm just waiting on my great friends, Warren and Steven, to see what we're doing this summer in RAT and, you know, kick them back. And actually, one downside thing, my cat disappeared of 12 years. Only he's almost 13 years old, just about a week and a half ago, so I'm kind of bummed about that. But everything else is good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I hope you find your cat, Bobby. And as far as it goes with the wine, I dare say Rat and Roll Out of the Cellar was probably overdue to be used as a wine title here. So good luck with the wine catalog in addition to the music catalog. And were it not for the fact that we got our next person on the lines here, I'd want to keep this going. So I certainly look forward to having a talk with you again here sometime soon about the ongoing project. So thank you so much for coming on, Bobby.
My great pleasure. Thanks to you guys and to all the RAT fans out there. I love you, and I miss you guys.
It was our pleasure. All right. Hey, as somebody who grew up on RAT, I appreciate it. Thanks, Bobby.
Okay, mate. Take care.
All right,
cheers.
You too. All right. Bobby Blotzer, everybody. RAT drummer. Good to have him on. His book, as I hold it for the camera here, Tales of a RAT, Things You Shouldn't Know, an autobiography by Bobby Blotzer.